Good morning, everybody. Did you all have a stress-free Christmas? Got about half the room saying yes. Did you get any good gifts? Yeah? Raise your hand if you got a good gift. All right. What'd you get? You got pens? All right. Hey, he's grateful for the pens he got. That's awesome. Who's that, Mike? What'd you get? It's like a magic carpet sheet that you go to sleep under and it calms you down and just, I love it. All right, yeah. Is that Camille?
I got the nerdiest haul ever, which included Batman the Animated Series and a Death Star
Walkman. Batman and Death Star, that's awesome. And go ahead, Mackenzie.
I got cowboy boots from Nashville.
What'd you get, Josie? Who else got Michelle Obama's book? I mean, that was a good gift. All right. That was a good gift. Perry, what'd you get? You're wearing it. A brand new jacket. I love it. All right. So we got some good gifts. We got some very good gifts. It's exciting. And, you know, it's neat because, you know, this is still the holiday time. We like to stretch it out as long as we can. And tomorrow night, we'll count down to a new year. Anyone planning on going to Times Square? Not a single local New York in the house. You're just too smart for that. Anyone visiting is like, keep your hands down. You know, we're going. So we especially want to be spiritually prepared to be clean in 2019. That's what we're going to talk about today. We have all known what it's like to be very dirty. All right, I remember playing soccer in crazy weather and just being covered head to toe in mud. We know what it's like to feel filthy when your hands are dirty. There's dirt under the nails. The hair needs a wash. Your feet smell. Your breath stinks. You guys know what that feels like, right? And we don't like knowing what that feels like, so we want to get clean, right? And we all know what it's like to have a nice bath, to just get totally washed. Totally clean. We love that when we smell good. You got that fresh feeling. Some of us enjoy that early morning shower and clean up for the day. Some of us, we like the nighttime refresher before we go to bed. Some of us, we shower multiple times a day. We love that feeling of being clean. And, you know, as adults, most likely many of us look forward to that clean feeling. Most likely. There are exceptions. But it's interesting because kids have a hard time with this. Kids, for some reason, kids have a hard time wanting to get clean. I have a little video evidence for you at this time.
This is what happens when it's bath time at our house. Raiden, are you ready to go take a bath?
No!
What's wrong?
Take a bath either.
Brooke, it's time to go wash your hair. Come on.
Mommy.
You have to wash your hair.
Not my face.
You gotta wash your face. The bubbles are gonna start living.
All right. You remember these days? All right. Either as a kid or a parent, all right, as a babysitter. First of all, the dad on the ground, can we talk about that for a minute? He's on the ground with his basketball and at one point says, I don't want to take a bath either. He is not helping at all. That's a totally different lesson for another day. But dads, you need to be a part of the team to help the kids get the bath. All right. So that's first situation. Secondly, you know, it looks like younger brothers imitating the older sister in this way. And I love the older sister, how she contorts her eye. Not my face. It's just, this is the death that cleaning is for children, right? It's just the worst. It's like a nightmare to hear brush your teeth. It's a nightmare for them. Cut your toenails. That's just death to a kid. Wash your face, et cetera, et cetera. And it reminds me of a scripture in the Bible. And if we go to John chapter 13, we'll see an interesting situation play out with Jesus and his apostles. In John 13, there's a situation where Jesus is about to wash his disciples' feet. And he takes off his outer garments. He has a towel. He has a basin with some water. And he goes to get into the nitty-gritty of cleaning up the nasty feet of his disciples. In John 13, verse 6, it says, he came to Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And Peter, in all of his wisdom and righteousness, in verse 8 says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Let's stop there for a minute. Why do you think Peter was so adamant about not allowing the Lord to wash his feet? There's a lot of different answers, and this is one of the most excavated texts of many of the texts in the New Testament. Scholars love to dig into all the symbolism and things that are happening here. We don't have time to get into all of it, but one of the important things to know is that the washing of the feet is a servant's job. 2,000 years ago, only the lowest of the low in the social world would take on the task of getting down on their hands and knees, almost stripped naked, with a towel and some water, and wash in between the toes of nasty, sandal-wearing, first-century agrarian feet. This was a gross job. And yet Jesus got down and did it. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the King of the Jews. And it's important also to notice that there is never, not recorded, not one time in all of ancient literature, an example of a leader, let alone a king or anyone of royalty, getting down on their knees and washing anyone's feet. This would be the only example of that. So Jesus is sort of a revolutionary role reversal of anything that people would have understood at this time. And so Peter is rejecting him on all counts. You know, you're a king, don't do this. You're not supposed to be doing this. I'll wash my own feet. I'm embarrassed about what they look like. This is not your job. I don't want you to come near me. And really what Jesus does for us right at the beginning of this text is provide us an example of humility. An example of humility. That we need to be the people that allow others to help us get clean and to do our best to help others to be clean spiritually. You know, first of all, it's about letting Jesus into the parts of our heart that may have crusted over in 2018, letting him back into those places that we've hardened a little bit in our spiritual lives, but it's also allowing other Christians, people that really care about our souls spiritually, to spiritually wash our feet. As we continue with the story in John chapter 13, we'll skip around a little bit, but later in verse 8, Jesus answers Peter and says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." It's like, I have to do this. In verse 9, "Then Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." All right, if you're going to do it, do the whole thing. You know, basically Jesus is saying he can't be connected to Peter, cannot be a part of what he's doing in his coming kingdom if he's not cleaned in this way. And one of the things that we note from the Bible, going back to Isaiah and chapters like 59, says sin is what makes us dirty. Sin separates us from God. Sin sets up like a wall between us and the Lord. Paul later tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2:21 that only if we cleanse ourselves from sin can we be used by God to do all these special kinds of things for him and his work. Paul talks about the sins as evil desires, pride, being argumentative, being resentful, being impure. And so if we want to be clean, we got to get all that junk out, walk in the light, confess our sins, and be able to do what God wills as a clean vessel. Sometimes sin is a little bit like a sliver or a splinter. Do you guys say sliver or splinter? Splinter. You say splinter. I always say sliver. Are they different? I don't know. That's a topic for another discussion. But okay, imagine a splinter, as you say. It's hard for people to see it, but you know it's there, right? People are like, "Why do you keep grabbing your finger? What's wrong with you?" "I have a splinter. It's killing me. It's bothering me. It's in there. Can't you see it?" And they're like, "No, I have no idea what you're talking about." You know it's there. It's bothering you, but people can't see it. That's a lot like certain sins. A lot of sins, especially that we might struggle with in the church, are more invisible. We don't really know what's going on with you. Some sins are obvious. Others are not. Others trail far behind us. And it's important that we do our best to invite people into our lives so that people can know, "Oh, it's one of those splinters. Let me help you. I got some spiritual tweezers." That's sin. to be able to get that out, or else it plagues you. It plagues your conscience. The Bible says to confess to righteous people who care about you and who will pray for you so that you can be healed. I want to really challenge you. Don't start the new year with a ton of quiet guilt in your heart because of unconfessed sin. Don't do it. You're setting yourself up for a major hurt, for major plaguing sin that erodes your conscience and makes you feel really down all the time. To be able to get that off your chest, to be able to start the year fresh. Yes, we know each other's sin. We know each other. We walk with sin. We know we're not trying to play it perfect. We are trying our best to be like Jesus, but when we act like nothing's wrong, we're lying to God, we're lying to ourselves, and we're lying to each other. We want to be open. To get in the light, to get over the shame and embarrassment, and let someone wash your feet. You know, Peter finally gets it, and he says, okay, not just my feet, but my whole body. And Jesus answers a really cool scripture in verse 10. Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. You know, for us today, the spiritual bath that has cleansed us is baptism. You know, for those of us who've repented, made Jesus Lord of our lives, and who've been baptized, we've already had our bath that Jesus is talking about. But our feet still walk in this world. Our feet still deal with the mire and the muck and the gunk of this world. And so that needs a continual washing. In other words, we need to always be repenting. We always need to go back to that cleansing source. We've already been baptized. We don't need to do that over and over again. But there's a constant call to repent of sin. That's why later when Peter writes his own letter and ends up in the Bible, it talks about making every effort to add to your faith. You know what it is. Goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge. To your knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. There's this whole idea that we're trying to get better and better in Christ as time goes on. In 2 Peter, in that great scripture, in verse 9 of chapter 1, it says, but whoever does not have these is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. You know, the baptism cleansing motivates Christians to do what is right. But when we stray, we are called to make every effort to have real repentance in our lives. If we don't, we get nearsighted. We get blind. We lose sight. We lose perspective of the things we need to work on. And we got to come back to our senses and do some feet washing. You know, for those who haven't made this decision yet, who haven't made the decision to make Jesus Lord of their lives, to repent and baptize, I want to encourage you to sit down and study the Bible with someone here, to make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to get totally right with my Creator God and go after this in my personal life. You're in an awesome spot, by the way. If you're visiting today, you're a local New Yorker and you're interested in trying to get close to God and get back into church, good decision, by the way, that you made today. I pray it saves you from some bad decisions that you might have made tomorrow night and beyond, and that you can make the ultimate decision to be right with the Lord. In Matthew 23, 26, it says, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. The idea is that you get the soul clean, and then the outside follows. All the external things follow. Things like your body, your health, fitness, cleanliness, hygiene, sleep, work, family, etc. Things outside that our actions and manifestations of what's happening inside. You know, there's a portion of us that I think puts these kinds of things off. For some of us in the church, we value sort of the soul's work of repentance, but we can get a little bit religious and forget about how practically that plays out in our life. You know, we love to sort of display our righteousness on Sunday, but our room's a mess. Our bills aren't paid. We haven't resolved an argument with our spouse or our roommate. You know what I'm talking about? It's the practical manifestations of the inside soul work. I'll give you a few examples of this. In my reading, I came across some interesting stats. There was a study published in the Scientific Bulletin of Personality and Social Psychology, and they used linguistic analysis software to measure how people discussed their homes. They were just talking about where they lived. They drew from that study a direct correlation from a cluttered living space to stress and depression. As soon as someone would start talking about how they were cluttered with a lot of stuff and their desk was a mess and there's laundry and there's things all over, the cortisol levels would jump through the roof. They start getting stressed out and would lead to chronic depression. In 2011, researchers at Princeton University found that the visual cortex can get overwhelmed by task-irrelevant objects. That means you're looking around your room, you see your computer, you see the drawer that has your clothes, and then you see all this other stuff. It's task irrelevant. Your visual cortex starts to get overwhelmed and you can't process as well as you could otherwise. That makes sense? It messes up your brain. Another survey conducted by the National Sleep Foundation found that people who made their beds every morning, are 19% more likely to have a good night's sleep. Is that a shocker? So what we've done is I've sent a couple people out right now into some of your homes. And we've taken video footage and streaming it back to the screen right now to see if you made your bed today. No, we didn't do that. 75% in the same study said they sleep better when their sheets are freshly cleaned. Isn't that amazing? The correlation. In another study in the Journal of Obesity, there's, you know, this whole study about maintaining an organized schedule and how even having just a schedule and a list of short-term goals can help you physically, help you be fit. And the Journal of Obesity found that people who even just plan an exercise routine and then record their progress, any progress that they make, just planning and recording any progress they make, will be significantly more fit and healthy. Just setting your mind to something and recording whatever progress you make can make a huge difference. Maybe this is the realm that you want to tackle January 1st, 2019. I don't know. Getting physically disciplined is a big one. It's one of the most made New Year's resolutions. It's also, believe it or not, shocker, one of the most broken. One of the neat things that we have coming up in our church schedule is this time, this day of prayer and fasting on January 9th. And I want to encourage you to use that day as you remind your body, who's master of it, that Jesus is the Lord of your body, that you can go without certain foods at certain times and say no when your body wants to say yes. And that can go for a lot of things in sinful temptation. But use that day as a reminder to be physically disciplined, not to look good, all right, although that might be a benefit that you enjoy, but not for that reason, but to look to God, to glorify Him with the way that you act, the way that your physical body manifests a spiritual change. That's the goal from the inside out. You know, this last part that I love in John 13, the text that we're looking at, Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example," in verse 15, "that you should do as I have done for you." You know, he sets us this amazing example, but it's not easy. Cleaning can be a very dangerous job. I had a college friend named Vince, and he was one of the guys that befriended me from the church, studied the Bible with me, served me, washed my feet, bought me lunch, took me out, introduced me to people, taught me how to pray. I mean, Vince is like spiritual big brother, mentor, the whole deal for me, and really helped me to become a Christian. And a couple years that I had been in the church, I started thinking, man, I really want to thank Vince in some special way. And I had written him cards and I got him gifts for Christmas, birthday, things like that. But I was trying to think of a way that I could serve him. But do you know anyone in your life that's kind of hard to shop for? Yeah. Or hard to serve? Like they kind of have it all together and they seem like they have what they need and they never complain. And it's like, man, I don't know what to get them. I don't know what to do for them. And God gave me a little glimpse into a way that I could serve him. One day I was at his place and I walked through the kitchen. We were watching a movie or something in his living room. And in the kitchen was this huge pile of dirty dishes. And I mean, I'm talking not just dirty dishes, mold. Guys, like I think I was on my way to the bathroom and they were watching the movie and I lifted one of the plates. It was green, blue mold. All right, I don't know how long those dishes had been in there. But I thought to myself, this is my chance. This is my chance to serve Vince. Something I can do, you know? It doesn't cost me any money. I might get an infectious disease, but it doesn't cost me any money. So quietly as I could, I start washing. I got the water going. And I guess one of the quiet parts of the movie, he hears there's some, you know, ruckus going on. So he gets up and he comes to the kitchen. And he, I mean, the look on his face was not what I imagined. I thought he's going to be like, John, wow, thank you so much. That's so kind of you to, man, there's mold on my dishes and everything. And you're just, look at you. You're not even wearing gloves. Like, you're just. He was mad. He's mad. I shared the story before, and I asked him permission if I could share it. He said, okay. He's mad, and he's like, what are you doing? Get away from those dishes. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, those are my dishes. Those are not your dishes. I didn't ask you to do those dishes. I'm like, Vince, whoa. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I just wanted an opportunity to serve you. What's going on here? He's like, look, you got to stop. Come back in here. Look, I'm sorry I blew up at you, but you just need to leave those dishes and come over here. And I don't know what got into me, but I said, Vince, you're going to have to kick me out of your house because I'm doing these dishes. He said, you need to go back and sit down and watch the movie and let me finish my job. I don't know why I said that. Got a little frisky with him. I don't know what was about to go down, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, we were both Christian brothers. He went back and watched the movie and I finished the dishes. You know, later, years later, he would say that was one of the most humbling, but also one of the most encouraging things anyone's ever done for him. Now, I'm not sharing this story because I'm some great dude. I am not. And people that know me know I'm not. But it's more about being like Jesus in moments of opportunity, seizing that chance to get dirty and wash someone's feet. We're sinners, but we have these moments where God gives us a chance to serve in a special way. You know what I'm talking about? To serve in a special way. That goes for dishes, house cleaning, confessing and hearing others get open, discipling, encouraging one another, reminding each other of the truth of God's word. I want to really challenge us to have a 2019 that's filled with the truth of God's word. Too often, especially as Christians, we have full conversations without ever opening the Bible. And now it's as easy as ever. You just open your phone and tap, 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 and there you go. You got the Bible at your fingertips. Too often, we're relying on our own advice, our own experience, our own emotion, our own read on a situation when God's truth is right there for the taking. Have a different kind of year where the word informs your decisions and your advice. You know, it goes for all different types of areas to be able to have these opportunities. I love the little video of Joey Woods. I don't know if they're going to call him Joey. Joseph, Joey. But anyway, so cute to see new babies, right? And we got a bunch of Pregos in the room. We got new babies coming. Babies in the pipeline, babies for the future, babies for days. It's going to be great. Those babies are going to need help. That's meal trains, going to need babysitting, all kinds of stuff. More teachers downstairs for children's ministry. Amen. We need that. Opportunities to serve, to wash feet, to be like Jesus. You know, people are moving into New York. We get them all the time, especially right now because the rental market is really good in the winter. So people are moving in. They need help moving, boxing, unpacking. You know what I'm talking about? Washing feet. Washing feet. Because it feels so nice to watch Netflix under that blanket that makes us fall asleep in 30 seconds. But we also are called to wash feet. And Mike's an incredible example of that. You know, I pray this is not our face in 2019. That this is not the approach that we take. You know, either like, I mean, dad just not, even if he's kidding, he's just not helping. He's not doing any favors to mom here. Laying on his back. I don't want to take a bath either. It's just ridiculous. Or the little brother. I mean, we don't want to be caught imitating a bad example either. But we don't want to be contorting. I don't want to serve. I don't want to get clean. I don't want to get open. Let this not be our face in 2019. Let this be our face in 2019. All right? Happy puppies. Washing feet. Getting clean for 2019. You know, before we take the communion, Hebrews 10 in verse 22 in the NCV says, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience. You cannot put a price tag on a guiltless conscience, a guilt-free, cleansed conscience. That is amazing. And we have that in Christ. And our bodies have been washed clean with pure water. It's a great scripture to remind us how to approach the new year. I'm grateful this year that we did have a Sunday right before we jump into New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. It gives us a chance to reflect a little bit more and as a body, as a collective, on how we want to approach this time to come near to God. Amen. You know, we all appreciate having a clean slate and a fresh start. We get that in Jesus every day. And it's so encouraging. I pray 2019 will start off with you drawing near to God, coming clean, getting open, and being clean for his good work in the coming year. Let's bow our heads and pray at this time for the communion. Our Father in heaven, we are truly grateful that we don't have to wait a full year for atonement or for a New Year's resolution, that every single day you are making your free grace available to us. God, thank you that we can access it. Thank you that you give us a pathway into your glory, a pathway into that guilt-free conscience, a pathway through repentance, being open, making you Lord of our life, inside and out, and through the cleansing waters of baptism. Thank you that you offer us this path. God, thank you so much for Jesus, who is such a great example of humility as he knelt down and did the work of a servant, who washed feet, who wouldn't take no for an answer, who continued to let his soul's work on the inside inform all of his actions on the outside. Thank you that we can imitate not only his mind, his heart, but also his behavior. And God, thank you ultimately for what he did for us dying on the cross, that Jesus would give up his life, would do the ultimate work of a servant, die a criminal's death, be executed for our sins, to substitute for our lives so that we could be free today. As we take the bread and the cup, remind us of that incredible victory, not only of his death, but also of his great resurrection on the third day. Help us to think about these things as we approach the new year. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.